From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan, the Tennessee pal, Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. If you are listening to our weekly listener mail segment, the evening it publishes, let us be the first to welcome you to Thursday, May 1st, 2025. And what better way to welcome us all to May than to talk a little bit about rutabagas?
Why not?
Rutabaga!
No, best one yet. Best one yet.
Best year, Mike.
Best one yet.
Unbelievable. I was swaying hypnotically in my seat. I am pumped, you guys.
Sound cue for applause for Dylan, whether you're riding in your car or whether you're working on some stuff, wherever you find yourself in the wide world, let us please note that is a pretty
hot fire.
Pretty hot fire. Dylan's making yes, hot
Kano.
Lava.
Yes.
Luke.
Baraka.
Ding, ding.
And also, we owe a great deal of thanks to our super producer when we pitched him that idea of Mortal Kombat rutabaga.
Did we do
no
that?
No response. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Earlier this morning.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. I wasn't there. Well, well done, Dylan.
And we are also grateful for some folks we're going to hear from today. We're going to, you know, this is the point where we take a little bit of space amid this chaotic universe and check in with you, the most important part of the show. So friends and neighbors, fellow conspiracy realists, we're going to talk a little bit about El Salvador. We're going to examine allegations of weather manipulation. But before we do any of that, I think we have to bone up on our Australian cinema.
Bone up a tea, baby.
Let's do it.
Hey, let's first take a quick word.
Something unexpected happened after Jeremy Scott confessed to killing Michelle Schofield in Bone Valley Season 1.
Every time I hear about my dad, it's, oh, he's a killer. He's just straight evil.
I was becoming the bridge between Jeremy Scott and the son he'd never known.
At the end of the day, I'm literally a son of a killer.
Listen to new episodes of Bone Valley Season 2 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explore the winding halls of historical true crime with Holly Fry and Maria Tremarki, hosts of Criminalia, as they uncover curious cases from the past. The legend of the highwayman suggests men dominated the field, but tell that to Lady Catherine Ferrers, known as the Wicked Lady, who terrorized England in the mid-1600s. Her legend persists nearly 400 years after her death. Highwaymen are in the hot seat this season. Find more crime and cocktails on Criminalia. Listen to Criminalia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Red, itchy, irritated eyelids. Red, itchy, irritated eyelids. Red, itchy, irritated eyelids might be caused by mites.
These symptoms may be Demodex blepharitis, an eyelid disease caused by an infestation of Demodex mites, a common mite found on humans. If you are experiencing these symptoms, visit eyelidchecked.com and talk to an eye doctor. Don't freak out. Get checked out. Sponsored by Tarsus Pharmaceuticals.
That feeling of owning your first Mercedes-Benz is hard to believe, but it's real. From the leather stitching to the iconic design, every element of a Mercedes lives up to its reputation. See for yourself at your local dealer. Offers are waiting.
Hey, And we've returned, and I believe we all collectively posed the question to our lovely Australian listeners of what are some classics of Australian cinema that we should check out. Guys, I'm totally space cadetting on how that came up. What were we talking about? It was a Australian gentleman that like disappeared, and he was like a financier or something. I'm so sorry. What was the deal?
His name is Harold Holt.
There you go. Thank you.
There's a memorial. There are several memorials named after the man. Prime Minister of Australia disappeared in the water, as some of our Aussie listeners pointed out. It's kind of weird that there are swimming pools named after him.
But what was his deal with the film industry? Before, was he like involved in it?
Oh, his dad was involved with some stuff in the entertainment industry, and then he ended up getting into some of it too before he became prime minister.
Got it. Well, do check out that episode, though it seems to have escaped me already. We do so many of these, guys. I'm so sorry. But what the takeaway for me was is that we don't know enough about Australian film and cinema. And I even, like, in the moment, had a hard time producing more than, like, three titles. And then I, after the fact, kind of remembered a few that I do know and love, and we'll talk about those. But most importantly, we're going to hear from Cake, a lovely Australian listener who writes in, "Greetings, Matt, Ben, and Noel. Peter Weir is the Australian version 1970s, 80s Francis Ford Coppola. His films include The Last Wave, Gallipoli, The Year of Living Dangerously, and Picnic at Hanging Rock, among others. Other notable Aussie directors include George Miller. Of course, we know George's work in the Mad Max films, as well as, crazily, Babe, the Babe franchise, and Happy Feet. The guy's a real renaissance man. He's all over the
Banger.
Place.
Yeah. I like to think they all happen in the same universe.
It's a lovely thought. Yeah, for sure. Among others. And, Kate goes on, Gillian Armstrong, My Brilliant Career, and The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, and that would be the 1990 film version of The Handmaid's Tale, well before the very popular TV series. By the way, have you read, / do you know, a nonfiction book called A Woman I Know? It's written by Mary Haverstick and tells the story of Cold War era female aviation pioneer Jerry Cobb, who was, or not, also a CIA operative in Cuba in the early 1960s, and who may, or may not, have been in Dallas the day President Kennedy was assassinated. Jerry's identities and her real and assumed names are mind-bending. This book is a wild ride. Ben, Matt, I posit we do an episode on this. I don't know this story, and I certainly don't think we have delved into it in the past.
Yeah, I don't know this at all. I'm just looking at the book for the first time.
Yeah, I don't know Mary Haverstick from a can of paint, so this is going to be a fascinating thing to learn more about. We love a good book recommendation. A Woman I Know. This is new to us. Cake, thank you so much. Also, thanks to everyone who has taken some time to teach us about Australia. As you guys know, I have over the monitor here, I have a map of Australia, and I've started putting little pins in the map.
So thank you, Cake, for the recommendation of the book and a future episode topic, and also for those films. I'm familiar with Picnic at Hanging Rock, which The Guardian calls a dazzling fever dream that is still relevant 50 years on. Peter Weir's 1975 parable of imperial anxiety and sexual hysteria was recently re-released for its 50th anniversary and is considered a classic of Australian new wave cinema. So definitely want to dig into that. One that I wanted to mention that I think I've mentioned to you guys off air after the fact was the film Animal Kingdom, which is, I believe, a true story of a notable Australian crime family starring Jackie Weaver. I want to say it got some. Also, Joel Edgerton is in it, but it is an Australian film that it's called it's considered a gritty Australian crime film in which young Joshua J. Cody is taken in by his extended family after his mother dies of an overdose. The branch of the Cody clan, overseen by Jay's scheming grandmother, Janine, played by Jackie Weaver, who's excellent, and I believe either got nominated or won an Oscar for this role, is heavily involved in various criminal activities, and they quickly indoctrinate the boy into their way of life. However, Jay is given an opportunity to take a different route when a cop, this is too much information, Guy Pearce is in it, cop named Lecky seeks to help him leave the family behind. So highly recommend that one. And another one called The Proposition. There is another Australian filmmaker who I realized I do know and enjoy, John Hillicoat, who has done a lot of kind of Australian westerns, Lawless, The Proposition, which I think is great. He's apparently been in the works on a film adaptation of Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy for a long time, which is always, I think, Ben, you've described it as one of those novels that's sort of considered unfilmable, you know, because there's so much internal monologue and the writing is such a part of it. Like, it's got this weird kind of biblical language and very unusual structure to it. One of your favorite villains, I think, in literature, Ben, the judge, isn't that right?
Absolutely.
What's his name? Judge something.
Holden.
Yeah, yeah. Holden. Apparently a real piece of work, an absolute sadist and psychopathic character. Obviously, McCarthy is known for a lot of things, but I think most popularly...
not punctuation.
Oh,
he's known
that's
for
right.
a lot of things
that's
except
yes.
for punctuation.
He writes in this flowy stream of consciousness way. He did, of course, No Country for Old Men, which is one of my favorite films of all time by the Coen brothers, and The Road, which is also directed by John Hillicoat. The Proposition is also scored by Nick Cave, who is a famous Australian artist, along with his partner, Warren Ellis, not to be confused with the comic book writer, Warren Ellis, who I believe is known for Transmetropolitan. But Warren Ellis, the musician, is also in a band called the Dirty Six or the Dirty Three, one of those numbers, and is an excellent composer who works alongside Nick Cave all the time. So the score is worth the price of admission alone on that, but it's also a super cool, gritty Western that takes place in the Outback. And it is this period, you know, period piece about that era, something you don't always think about, but there is a Wild West in Australia as well, or a Wild West type scenario. Real quickly, just want to rattle off, I found a list of the top 100 greatest films of Australian cinema on IMDb. There's a couple that I recognize, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and let's see, Babe, of course, and Mad Max, etc. But there's, I mean, there are tons, of course there are.
What is number 98?
Thank you, Ben. I don't know that they're ranked by best. I think they maybe are. Let's see. 98 is Wolf Creek, which I've heard of. It is a hellish Australian outback, kind of like the Hills Have Eyes type situation where apparently some backpackers who are stranded in the Australian outback are stalked and tortured psychologically. And I believe there's some torture porny type stuff in it too by a sadistic, psychopathic local. Also, The Year of Living Dangerously is a film by Peter Weir that was mentioned by Cake. Starring Mel Gibson and Sigourney Weaver. A young Australian reporter tries to navigate the political turmoil of Indonesia during the rule of President Sukarno with the help of a diminutive photographer. I love you guys. Throw out another number. Let's throw out a few more numbers, and then we'll make 15. This one short. Love it. 15. Number 15 is... let's see. The Boys, 1998. Classic. Yeah, by Rowan Woods, the director, starring David Wenham, Tony Collette, who is Australian. I always forget Tony Collette of many things, fame, but specifically, I think we all love her in Hereditary, as well as Lynette Curran, who I'm not familiar with. After serving time for assault, violent parolee Brett Sprague returns to his family home as tensions rise between Brett and his brothers, Stevie and Glenn. Over 24 hours, dark events begin to unfold. The Boys, from 1998, rated R. And then last but not least, I wanted to mention...
Number 69.
Okay, let's do it. Thanks, Maddie. Nice. Good call. You had to do it.
Someone always has to, say nice at the end of that one.
Oh, my gosh. Well, number 68? Oh, Matt, crazy. You know what number 69 is? It's Picnic at Hanging Rock, the one that one of the ones that our listener wrote in, that Kate wrote in about, and that I was just looking up. It's the one that's considered dazzling and relevant 50 years on. Picnic at Hanging Rock, directed by Peter Weir. That's so cool, Matt.
Wow.
Right before that is a popular one that I also, it's New Zealand. It is kind of considered, I don't know, that might be very controversial to Australians, but it's The Piano by Jane Campion, who is a New Zealand filmmaker. I know this, not an Australian filmmaker, but it is on this list on IMDb, so I don't know, take it up with IMDb. But the last thing, there's a TV series that I really love that I want to say we've talked about that maybe one of you two have seen. It's called Mr. In Between. It is an Australian crime series about a dude who is a hitman for like an organized crime entity in Australia, but is also just like a dad and just doing regular stuff, you know. And it's that, it's very like The Sopranos in that respect. It very much shows like the human aspect of someone who is ultimately a pretty tough customer. What are you gasping about, Maddie?
I've seen clips of this.
You'd love it. It's Breaking Bad level good. I really think it's fantastic.
I believe it's the actor Scott Ryan who plays maybe the main person. You know him from the show. I just clicked on the IMDb page and saw his face, and he's holding an ice cream with, I guess, his daughter, a young girl. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that scene when he confronts the dudes not very nice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He definitely kicks some ass and takes some names, but it's a very human story. He has a father who is, I believe, going through dementia, the early stages of dementia. Maybe that's not true. You know what it is? That's not what it is. Excuse me. Nope, that is part of it. But he also has a brother who has, I believe, cerebral palsy. And the actor who plays his brother actually has cerebral palsy. And it's an incredible performance by this individual who is cast appropriately, I would say, in a time where, you know, I mean, it's controversial, I think, sometimes to talk about how only individuals with certain conditions or, you know, who present certain ways should be cast. I don't necessarily come down on one side or other of that, but I do think it's really interesting to see someone who actually has that condition portraying a character who has that condition.
And we've also just ordered a copy of A Woman I Know, Female Spies, Double Identities, and a New Story of the Kennedy Assassination.
Heck yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for doing that, Ben. I just found a connection here that I did not know existed, okay, and maybe you didn't know either. There is a 2005 film starring Scott Ryan, the guy who plays Ray.
Mr. In-Between Ray, yep.
It is called The Magician, and he plays a character named Ray Shoesmith, who is a volatile, caring, and ruthless hitman.
So Ray, that's the same name. It's the same character, Ray Shoesmith, who is in The Mystery in Between. The Magician was a precursor to that series.
Okay.
I remember, I'm all about remember it. Reading
it. There's a universe here, guys.
Yeah, no, it's super
I love
cool.
world building. You know, if you want to learn about Mad Max, you got to start with Babe.
That's also true.
the movie Babe?
Yes, exactly. And lastly, I just wanted to mention one more that I had on my list that I have seen. It's been a long time. Very difficult film to watch, based on a true story. It's called The Snowtown Murders. And if I'm not mistaken, we have talked about the true crime story this film is based on. 16-year-old Jamie falls in with his mother's new boyfriend and his crowd of self-appointed neighborhood watchmen, a relationship that leads to a spree of torture and murder. It's literally, I think, the most famous serial killer story out of Australia, and I think the movie is quite well done, but it is a challenging watch. So huge thanks to Cake. We're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with some more messages from you.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.
Red, itchy, irritated eyelids. Red, itchy, irritated eyelids. Red, itchy, irritated eyelids might be caused by mites.
These symptoms may be Demodex blepharitis, an eyelid disease caused by an infestation of Demodex mites, a common mite found on humans. If you are experiencing these symptoms, visit eyelidchecked.com and talk to an eye doctor. Don't freak out. Get checked out. Sponsored by Tarsus Pharmaceuticals.
We all have eyelids. Close them. Open them. How do they feel? If you've ever experienced red, itchy, irritated eyelids, it might be an eyelid disease called Demodex blepharitis. But here's the twist. Demodex blepharitis is caused by tiny mites living on your eyelids. Surprised? Most people are. But there's something you can do. Stay calm and visit eyelidcheck.com. And together with your eye doctor, you can make a plan. Don't freak out. Get checked out. Sponsored by Tarsus Pharmaceuticals.
How can we help make stronger communities happen? Well, at JPMorgan Chase, we invest in what's working. In businesses that create more jobs. In hospitals delivering care where it's needed the most. In workers building new buildings, bridges, and roads. Connecting what we need to where we live.
Make the green grass grow all around, make the green grass grow all around.
Make momentum happen. Learn more at jpmorganchase.com/impact.
And we've returned. Guys,
yes.
We are taking a little trip to a cool part of the United States that I've never been to, but I look forward to going one day. I wonder if you guys have been around here. Have you guys ever been to like Shreveport? Or
I was just talking about that with somebody. Though. I've only been to New Orleans and Louisiana, but I know some people from Shreveport, actually.
Something like me has been there, but it goes by Peter the Roman.
Okay, Peter the Roman. Interesting. Nice. Is Peter here with us now?
are we gonna divine him? Yes. Summon him.
So
spirit of Peter looms large.
At what level of it's like hiding Easter eggs. Like how far in the grass do you put them?
Peter the golden egg?
Oh, yeah, right. You know, or is he like number 113? Anyway.
Or number 69.
Nice. Always have to say nice. So Shreveport is, in Peter the Roman's experience, a beautiful but imperfect place. And there's a lot of interesting government activity involved.
Ooh, yeah. So let's get to that. This area of the United States is also known as Arklatex. You may know a town that's right, I guess it's just to the west of this area called Texarkana, which is really cool. And why would it be named that? Well, it's because it's kind of the border between Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana, all there together in one little corner. I guess it's the northwest corner of Louisiana is the way you'd say it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to the west, Texas, just to the north, Arkansas. And there's this thing called the Red River that runs between Shreveport and Bossier City, which is just on the east, Shreveport there on the west. And there's this other place, guys, when we're talking about government activity in the area, called Barksdale Air Force Base. Used to be known as Barksdale Field. That's before the Air Force became a thing. And guys, it's 22,000 acres of land. 22,000 acres.
Like for sale or
no, not at all.
Hang on, I'm pulling up Zillow.
okay. So the reason why it's not for sale is because Barksdale Air Force Base is extremely important to the United States as kind of a thing. I'm going to read from their website. It's an award-winning base that's home to Warrior Airmen of the 2nd Bomb Wing, Air Force Global Strike Command, 8th Air Force, and the 307th Bomb Wing. It's also host to mission partners dedicated to, quote, providing nuclear deterrence, combat power, and combat support anytime, anywhere.
So tight, like dominoes?
Like dominoes, just like dominoes, but with nukes.
Dominukes.
Dominukes.
There we go.
We got there.
And this is the most important part. The 2nd Bomb Wing is the host unit of Barksdale Air Force Base. I don't know what that means. Do you guys know what the host unit means? The most crucial part of the Air Force Base, perhaps. But it is one of only two B-52 Stratofortress bomber bases in the Air Force. Now, a while ago, we talked about Stratofortresses, what those guys are, the giant B-52 bombers that actually carry nuclear weapons when
Chunky
they need to
boys
be carried
in the sky.
Oh yeah.
Chonky Boys in the Sky. Yes.
I thought she said Chonky Boys in Disguise, and I was picturing a Transformers type scenario, but it's all
I love both of these ideas. Yes.
Chonky Boys in Disguise.
So why are we talking about these Chonky Boys? Well, we got a message from Spooky Pants, and we're going to listen to it right now.
Hey, guys. My name is Spooky Pants. There's a thing called the Barksdale Bubble. Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City, Louisiana, I live across the river in Shreveport, is the home to all our nuclear weapons, aside from Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico and Albuquerque. But you know what the thing is? The thing is that no bad weather ever happens over our area to dissuade anything from the B-52s coming back. It's called the Barksdale Bubble. So I'd love it if you guys kind of investigated the Barksdale Bubble. Love your show. Love you guys. Hope you're doing well. Bye.
Okay, first off, there are nuclear weapons everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Spooky Pants. Barksdale is home to the Chonky Boys that carry the nukes, the certain nukes, but then there are nukes chilling everywhere. Ooh, yeah. but Spooky also, Pants is right in a way.
Yeah, Spooky Pants, you're absolutely correct. There has been, from my understanding at least, Matt, there has been a lot of speculation over the years regarding possible, I guess, meteorological anomalies would be a word for it, or a phrase, like the pattern, just like you're describing, Spooky Pants, the idea that the weather seems somehow courteous.
Guys, yeah, you know what this reminds me of? There's a character in the movie Waiting for Guffman that David Cross plays. He's like a UFO expert, and he's talking about, I've been coming to this circle in Blaine, Indiana for 5 years, and sorry, Missouri, and measuring it. The diameter and the circumference always constantly change, but the radius stays the same. Once you go into that circle, the weather never changes. It is always 67 degrees with a 40% chance of rain.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if they're inspired by this bubble that we're talking about.
Well, interestingly enough, this Barksdale bubble thing really arises in the 90s, the mid-90s to be precise, when a little thing called Doppler radar shows up out there near the Barksdale Air Force Base. And we'll get into that. But first of all, if you go on a little hunt for this thing called the Barksdale bubble that Spooky Pants describes, you're going to find a lot of stuff. One thing you're going to find is a beer from Great Raft Brewing in Shreveport.
All right.
According to Untappd, quote, this IPA is a thick, juicy, tropical fruit bomb, which is very exciting.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Love you. Got your back. What is Untappd?
Untappd is a great website that reviews beers. It's like crowdsourced beer reviews. It's pretty cool, actually. Okay.
All right. Well, they sound like they're legit. So
yeah, they're so legit. Great Raft, also according to Untappd, has a black lager that I desperately want to try called Reasonably Corrupt. It sounds very, very fun. And I like their style over there at Great Raft.
All right.
Also, guys, Barksdale Bubble, it's a band.
No way.
You can find them at thebarksdalebubble.com. According to that site, This band is a, quote, electrifying fusion of powerhouse female vocals and searing guitar solos.
Yeah.
It features bandmates Chris Fomo Hirsch, Gabby Ray, Tim Not the Director Burton, Chris Count Me In Robinson, a.k.a. the Unfairly Photogenic Botanist.
What a punchy crew of characters. I want to hang out with there, all of them.
That's up there with those Australian IMDb film description.
Absolutely true. Right?
Like dazzling.
Exactly. Yes.
It definitely is.
All right. Cool. So feels like we solved it, Matt.
Yeah, we solved it. No. But one of the last things you're going to find are several Facebook groups, several places on Reddit, and several, I guess, just off the beaten path websites that are discussing this anomaly, if you will. The nice weather that appears above Barksdale all the time. There are so many screenshots of the Doppler radar above Barksdale showing a ring of green or red or just bad stuff happening. And then right in the center, near where the Air Force Base is, nothing. Just clear skies, at least so according to the radar.
Beyond a Matrix Dodge.
Oh, yeah. Like, as in, something's going on down here.
Mm. Okay, now, so shit is sideways around a certain perimeter, but within that perimeter, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, everything looks good, especially if you are a weatherman and you've got one of those green screens behind you and you're pointing out, you know, places where it's getting real bad in Shreveport. Oh my gosh, this is not good, guys. Everybody hunker down. Oh wait, there's this one little nice, look at that. It's so clear and calm right there. Okay, so who else do we go to figure out what this is than a weatherman? His name is Andrew Brightman. Circa 2021 in April, he was a weatherman for KSLA News 12. And he put out just some of the best reporting I've seen in a long time, guys, of the weather variety. I linked to it in here. You can find it right now. You can really just search Barksdale Bubble KSLA. But the title is Barksdale Bubble, Explaining the Legend of the Weather Manipulation Device Protecting Barksdale Air Force Base.
Incredible.
In this report, guys,
I'm so
which
in,
by the way. Video appears to be straight out of our YouTube channel. I don't know if Andrew watches or just likes the same stuff we like. Whatever it is, it's amazingly produced. And it goes through, it's talking to a bunch of people, like radio, local radio folks, local people from Barksdale, people like from the Air Force Base who are actually in the control tower there, talking to everybody about this weird anomaly and all of the theories that surround it about maybe it really is some kind of manipulation device to protect certain parts of the Air Force Base. That's not too outside of what we know can happen. We've talked about weather manipulation on this show before, but it's generally about the most common thing is cloud seeding, where you can encourage weather to like maybe and move in a certain way by creating the right situation for moisture to generate in one area rather than another. And then depending on, you know, the wind patterns, you can kind of manipulate the weather to be better in one area by making it rain earlier before it gets to you or after it gets to you, right? That's kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, in this report, Andrew makes the following statement that we're going to play in just a moment based on a couple of things, specifically one of the things we mentioned earlier here, that Doppler radar was installed in the mid-1990s in the area, and this bubble has been seen since then. Andrew describes a little flaw in Doppler radar that we need to be aware of because it may just explain what this bubble is. So let's go to Andrew.
Sometimes when weather in Shreveport, Bossier, there's dry air close to the ground and rain high in the atmosphere that evaporates before reaching Earth. But the Doppler's beam still picks up that precipitation, recording it as a green image on the radar screen. However, close to the tower, the Doppler has an almost circular blind spot that fails to see high atmospheric rain close to the tower, creating a mirage, making it look like it's raining and storming around Shreveport Bossier, while Barksdale remains sunny and dry.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So it really does make sense when you hear Andrew explain it so, I don't know, efficiently,
yeah, accurately,
yeah,
non-bullshittingly, you know.
Exactly. But it is so great that he couches that little nugget of information inside this piece that feels like an unsolved mystery episode, just to give you just the facts. Hey, sometimes it appears as though there's nothing going on here, but it's literally because the radar can't see it. And because it's not actually raining right there, it's picking up the weather that's happening above the dry air.
And, you know, another interesting thing about this, you guys, and Spooky Pants in specific here, is that despite the advent of Doppler radar as a technology being relatively recent in its rollout to the public, we do know there's like a century worth of somewhat reliable data about weather patterns. So it'll be interesting also to look at just the region, right? The overall climate of the Shreveport area there in a pretty pretty cool part of the United States, actually, and see if maybe there are accounts of some kind of sacrosanct area. Maybe there are accounts of just regular rain. I don't know, man. Well, it's tough.
I can't recommend everybody watch that video more, because right at the end, after, you know, talking about all the theories and all of that stuff, Andrew makes that explanation and then goes to the other parts of those interviews where it's people from the Air Force Base saying, oh yeah, dude, we've fought all kinds of insane weather on the Air Force Base. It is, we get the exact same weather that everybody else gets in this area. Basically, you know, and you got to take the Air Force Base personnel at their word. But, you know.
Yeah, but I'm laughing because now I'm picturing some guy who is just a hapless mechanic and has to, you know, constantly be doing maintenance on these vehicles, and it, just how pissed that guy must be at the radar boys. You know what I mean? He's like, these drips, you know, I don't know how they curse nowadays. Drips, pills, heels.
I have no idea. In the end, it's all to protect the Chonky boys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think about that all day. Guys, in other Andrew Brightman news, it was his last day back in 2022 on August 5th, at least according to this other video on KSLA News. He moved over to Charlotte, North Carolina, and is now working for Queen City News. But major shout out to you, Andrew Brightman. We like your style.
Yeah, agreed. Also,
like the cut of your jib.
Yeah. Oh, I love when people say cut of your jib. We should have a green screen. I'm gonna pitch you guys a video. What if we do like weatherman meteorologist stuff?
Yeah.
But instead of the weather, we predict conspiracies.
Ooh,
on the green screen.
I love it. Love it.
We've got a real heavy Barksdale bubble moving its way towards Charlotte. But by the way, being named Bright Man,
that's
and great. Like your weatherman,
nominative determinism.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Mm-hmm. So hey, Spooky Pants, we hope we didn't burst your Barksdale bubble too much here, but we do. I'm so sorry.
I love it. Yeah.
We highly, highly appreciate you calling in, letting us know. I believe former Atlantean, according to another part of Spooky Pants's messages.
Former ATLian.
Some people do this. They'll call in, leave a message, and then forget to like give permission in that message, then call back and do a second one. I think it was the second message that just said, oh, by the way, I'm former Atlantean. You can use my message.
So all are welcome. Just like the ghost said in Poltergeist.
Don't go into the light. Do you go into the light or don't go into the light?
You don't go
into the light. Okay, you don't go into the light. Got it. If you do go into the light, tie a rope around your waist and have somebody hold it outside of the light.
Right?
In case they need to bring you back in.
And get the guy who is in that sitcom Coach.
There you go.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yes.
Craig T. Nelson.
Who's that lady that was like, carbon this fiber. House is clear. That very interesting looking lady. I love that movie.
I loved her. Her Tinder was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
You know what she wore? Spooky pants. All right. Yep. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Let's do it.
And we have returned with just a little bit of errata, some addendums.
Erotica?
Not erotica.
Okay,
I am in your
all
head.
Right. Okay.
I know you are. We'll open with a letter from a guy I want to workshop nicknames with. We'll call him SH for now. All right. But this is a response to some communiques we've had regarding the ongoing situation with innocent residents of the United States and getting black bagged out to El Salvador.
Okay.
All right.
Don't like that, but carry on.
Yeah. Yeah. We always start off with the light stuff, you know? Right. So, okay. Hello, stuff they don't want you to know. I enjoy your podcast. Hard period. I found your discussion on El Salvador prisons to be interesting. I've driven from California to Panama on several occasions. I intentionally avoided going through El Salvador because at the time, it was the most dangerous country in Central America, which also, by the way, SH, tells us a little bit about when you were driving. SH continues, it's now one of the safest countries. Before Bukele became president, the country was overrun by criminal gangs who committed murders and extortion on much of the population. After having built the prison you were speaking of on your podcast and locking up the criminals and gang members, the number of murders in the country has dropped down to below that of Canada. Most of the citizens of El Salvador, says SH, love what Bukele has done for their country and would re-elect him in a heartbeat. And many other countries in Latin America would like to duplicate El Salvador's success in reducing crime and the influence of the drug cartels. Now, let's pause here for a second, because this feels like a really important point. Guys, we've heard of dictators or authoritarians or even fascists who are lauded by the domestic population because they're seen as cutting past the red tape, right? They're like cracking down on crime.
I'm thinking of Libya in particular, where we heard pretty historic levels of approval, basically, back in the day. Before the, you know, their leader was, I was going to say unceremoniously murdered, but there was quite a bit of ceremony in that.
Before Gaddafi tried to start a African version of a euro.
Oh, yeah. In Venezuela, there was a really high approval rating that was at least reported, right? And if, oh my gosh, guys, I just... Mm-hmm. I found something. It's El Salvador in English.com. And this
super
is
super legit. Yeah.
It says President Bukele achieves historic 91% global approval rating. Wow.
Global?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Shout out to Vladimir Putin. Sure thing. But that, I mean, there is an argument there that has a lot of validity, is there not? The idea that, look, you're growing up in a place where things stink, right? Shelter is a concern, rule of law is a concern, law enforcement officials are easily corruptible. They may be the criminals they're supposed to be looking for. You know what I mean? Like, they may be the hot dog guy in that Tim Robinson sketch.
And, you gotta figure out now, who's done this.
Right. Now you have a guy who comes in and says, forget due process. We know who the bad guys are. You know, let's crack down on them. We can see logically how you would support that. You know what I mean? You might say, I will sacrifice some of my rights, some of my liberty in return for safety. And that seems to be a somewhat Faustian bargain, but it's one that has occurred throughout history. Anyway, we're editorializing. SH, you continue, and you say a very important point that adds to this. You continue, the United States and Europe are the largest consumers of cocaine and other illegal drugs. True. And as such, we bear... SH is a U.S. national, by the way. And as such, we bear much of the responsibility for the situation of crime and human suffering in these Latin American countries. We have an obvious choice in our country to either stop using illegal drugs or make them legal. It's something we've talked about on the show, right?
Mm-hmm. You can't use illegal drugs if they are, in fact, legal.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, that's perfect. Whoa, that's really good. It's beautiful. So El Salvador, SH continues, is not a rich country, and the temptation to make a quick buck in the illegal drug trade is irresistible to many young people, obviously. that happens here, to decide to lock up all the gang members involved in this illegal trade is not the best solution. Unless we here in the United States accept responsibility for the illegal drug market, it will be the favored method, locking people up, will be the favored method to resolve this tragic situation. Thank you for the podcast, SH. So first things first, good monikers for SH. I'm thinking, well, all my ideas are pretty terrible right now.
What are you talking about?
Untrue.
Pete, get out of here. Bring Ben back.
Oh, geez. Well, we'll go with SH. If anybody wants to give a good solution, a good moniker, if SH were a series of initials, what would SH stand for? Starship Home. That's cool. You know, mm-hmm. We've been talking about space.
Sugar Homie.
Sugar Homie.
Salvadorian Hero.
Salvadorian Hero. Yeah, I like that. And as usually happens in these recordings, folks, about 3 or 4 minutes after we wrap the show, Dylan is going to hit us with the best one.
Yeah, usually.
Usually. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll dig that rutabaga. So the question as we end here before we move on real quick, what do we think would happen if the United States sliced the Achilles heel of the cartels?
What an image.
by just making these various substances legal?
I've often thought about that. Like would it be an immediate fix? I don't know. It seems more complicated than that. What do you guys think? They'd pivot, right? The cartels would pivot.
Well, yeah, sure. They're deep into avocados right now. We talked about that previously. They're diversifying their portfolio.
They probably are. Well, like a lot of big media conglomerates who realize that a certain technology is maybe starting to go the way of the dinosaur, or a certain type of distribution, perhaps, like radio into podcasting, for example.
I'm trying to wax my mustache when you say that, Noel, so that I look a little more like an 1800s.
Like the guy
villain
with the two bags of money. Yeah. He's got the bags
Holy
of money.
Lord. Yeah.
It looks good, Ben. I like it. You should rock that.
It's me from IHOP.
Get some wax. Yeah, some evil mustachio wax.
Dylan, leave it in.
Mm-hmm. No, it stays.
But it does. Well, you guys tell me. Maybe I'm really wrong. We've talked about it so many times. It does at this point feel like my thoughts on it are solidified. Mm. If you legalized the drug trade, black markets would just shift and there would be a lot more human trafficking. Yes, there would be a lot more of the other
arms trafficking.
Yeah, there would be other stuff, right? And if you legalize maybe the sex trade, then maybe human trafficking starts to change and it really does become the kind of indentured servitude stuff that we just talked about. I don't know. I think it was last listener mail about people being shipped in from Asian countries to work basically in sweatshops here in the U.S. and other places like that. Mm-hmm. So you're like, if you make a legal market for something, there's no real gain to the black market stuff, right? Maybe not the same way.
I mean, it's a pickle, right? Because the main thing in these conversations about legal or illegal is that no one at the top level, no one should be stupid. There should not be a chump. It's okay to be evil. It's bad to be dumb. It is the way the rationale or the discourse takes place. So to that point, you know, you're playing whack-a-mole, right? You're saying this thing is fine. And then a criminal organization, unless they want to move to like a regional or state level power, they'll find the next illegal thing because the profit margins are just high enough. You know what I mean?
And you're not the anti-tax incentives are just high enough, right? Just, I mean,
that's a big part of it, right? It's like a tax-free business. It's a tax-free industry. What we got to find is more ways to shelter our earnings from the taxman.
Their HR sucks, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's interesting how the market shifts for things. So driving around where I live now, I'd be curious to know if this is y'all's experience too. in most gas stations that are not like a major brand, like a QT, you will find a ton of, quote, THC products.
Yes.
Like a ton. Yeah. I didn't even realize
they're,
how many.
They're Delta 9, though. They're analogs. They're loophole products.
They are, but they are all THC products, and they're everywhere. So it just, and they are, they must be purchased all the time, or else there wouldn't be so many of them in so many stores, right? So,
well, in New York City, up until recently, when they cracked down on this because of like legalization finally rolling out properly, all the bodegas sold actual cannabis under the table, and that is no longer possible because the government there in New York City literally cracked down and went from door to door and shut a lot of these operations down. So, you know, you really can only buy it through legal means. But before that, it was a real Wild West situation.
But I guess I hear you. All I'm trying to say is I think the market ends up finding a way with a lot 100%. Of that kind of stuff. And it does feel like if there was just a bigger push to just get that stuff out there and it's in a product you can buy that isn't crazy expensive, then it does change. I don't know. There's all the moral arguments, right? You can't allow that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, but also cocaine brought to you on a subscription model by Unilever. You know what I mean?
They would love that.
Brave New World. A
subsidiary of Hulu or what have you. I don't know how long we're going to, I don't know how many shots I can fire before we get fired. But we do have further conversations in this light, you know, and I love the shout out to, I love the shout out to independently owned gas stations. Mm-hmm. We know there's a huge ethically fraught petroleum industry that does a lot of dirt. For sure, and also moves the world. But what I love about the small, I don't know if this is maybe just a U.S. thing or maybe just a southern U.S. thing, but what I love about independent gas stations in this part of the world is they will try anything.
Yeah.
I saw a Bitcoin ATM.
They're everywhere. You know what I mean? They're everywhere. You know what? It's funny you say that, Ben. I was thinking about that. They obviously are no longer, whoever invested in those for these gas stations, I don't think they're getting their money's worth.
Yes, because their rate of attrition with weird ideas is so high.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you want to forget the made for TV stuff, go find the shadiest gas station in your neighborhood and look on the back shelf. I guarantee you they've got something weird.
Have we talked about how they get away with having these little gambling rooms too? Like there's some of the same machines you'll see in Vegas, but I'm very confused as to why folks are posted up there. What are they getting?
Credits? You said you were going to be cool.
Is that what it is, Matt?
Yes.
Okay, it is. Okay, it's still there.
There was a restaurant right near me that had a whole room in the back. And if you won anything there, it was like getting a gift card for the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But you're spending a crap load of money trying to make
some
money.
Claw machines. Yeah. 100%.
You can also do, oh man. All right. That's it. It's done. We're doing a gas station episode.
Yes.
We're doing a stuff they don't want you to know about gas stations. Brought to you by your friends.
Is it Chevron. Worth it to buy your gas at Costco? I've seen a lot of differing opinions as to whether that's a subscription service there versus how much you pay for the gas versus how much you're paying for groceries actually amounts to you getting a deal. So I don't know. It's something that might be worth talking
about. That's
great.
Yeah, let's put that in there. Also, obviously, shout out to everybody who just felt a little bit snooty when they heard us talking and said, you know, the way to save money is to take a bag of loose diamonds and just buy the tanker.
Yeah, or the Pokemon cards that you keep in the same case as the loose diamonds.
Right. So heist aside, we're going to end with just a few quick clarifications. Needs to be said, first off, thank you to everyone who wrote in. We mentioned this in an episode or previous recording. Menstruation and the moon are not related. The passage of the moon does not affect menstruation, according to current studies. That's a piece of information that needs to be further out into the wide world. Another important one.
Wait, I feel like we've talked about that before on the show, how they're not
related. Maybe we must have, but I also probably brought up that I thought that they were. I do remember recently in our astrology discussions, we were talking about ways of justifying how astrology might actually correlate with real stuff. And we had a listener write in. I think I repeated that perhaps, let's call it a, what would you call it, guys? An urban
factoid?
Ledge?
Yeah. Technically 100%. A factoid is something that sounds like a fact. Yep.
But and I'm guilty of repeating them. I know. So, but
you are not alone. Exactly. You are not alone. This is, here's a mea culpa on my part. We had a conversation recently where we talked about flotsam versus jetsam. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh man, flotsam floats and jetsam sinks. While that is not entirely incorrect, the important thing to know, and please, Merchant Marines, stop sending the emails. flotsam and jetsam are describing different types of debris or trash. So flotsam is the stuff you lose. It's not deliberately thrown overboard. So like a cargo ship amid the dangerous waters in a storm in the Pacific, because they don't have the Barksdale bubble, when they lose a container ship, that's flotsam. Or a shipwreck or something. Yeah. And if you are in a hurry, just you got in some situations on the water and you got to throw some stuff out, that's jetsam.
So is that I'm sorry, I'm just going to my mind to like a science fiction story where the spaceship, it needs to offload some weight for whatever reason. So they throw some stuff out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jettison like stuff, for sure.
Like, remember that time, you guys, we had to commandeer that helicopter and there wasn't enough room.
By the way, did you see that crazy helicopter crash in New York over the Hudson? Or like it literally just fell out of the sky? A friend of mine sent that to me and just said, like, never flying in a helicopter ever. Not going to happen.
I don't know, man.
Scary. The company got shut down.
Flying a plane is like learning Mandarin, but flying a helicopter is like learning Cantonese.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Ben, I don't remember the helicopter thing you're talking about, but I do remember way back in the day we shot Raven, I think they were called like Raven 2s or something, at a local airport way back in the day. I think you and I were both there, maybe, with Marshall.
Nice.
Marshall Grain.
Wow.
From earlier.
Oh yeah. Himself.
Yes. We have a lot of weird stories. Maybe at some point the four of us should get together and write them down, or rather the five of us, including you listening as well. With these corrections, these letters from home, we're getting a note from our producer that this is the close of our listener mail. So big thanks to Cake, big thanks to Spooky Pants, big thanks to SH. That is our sugar homie, Starship Home. What's it? Salvadoran hero. And big super cool thanks hang. To Super Cool Hang. That's the one.
Thank you.
That's the most important one. Yeah. So we're going to pause. We're going to noctivigate. We hope this podcast finds you well, and we'd love for you to join the show. You can find us on the internet. You can find us on the telephone. You can send us a good old-fashioned email.
That's right. You can find us on all of those places that Ben mentioned, on the interwebs at least, at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook with our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, on YouTube, where we have video content for your perusing enjoyment and entertainment, and on X, FKA Twitter. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show, and there's more.
Oh, yes, we have a phone number. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know within the message if we can use your name and message on the air. Guys, really quick shout out to Chef Ben from Chicago that calls us all the time. Yeah. Chef Ben gave us a recipe that we all need to listen to.
Yes!
For curry chicken salad.
Are you kidding me? That sounds great. I've been literally just talking yesterday about how I need to get into chicken salad, and this sounds like just the ticket for me.
Dude, basically what Chef Ben says is make curry chicken and then get it in the fridge overnight after you eat your curry chicken meal, right?
Sure.
Then your leftovers, you add some mayo and some other things to it, and including, I think it was golden raisins.
And crunchies, maybe.
And red onions.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And you make a glorious curry chicken salad.
That sounds amazing. I'm doing it.
And, And if we can do one thing, we'll have to beep this. Mm-hmm. This joke is just for you, Chef. How you been?
Ooh.
So yeah, if you've got recipes, hey, send them our way. We love those kinds of things. And you can send them to us via voicemail, or you can send them to us via email. We are
the entities that read each piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. What are we talking about? Why does that sound ominous? Don't be the reasonable person in your favorite horror movie. Be the person who opens the door and walks in. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.